There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today. Obviously still reacting to the Eagles' devastating loss to the Falcons on Monday night. But it's also time to turn the page as the Eagles head down to New Orleans Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock, against the New Orleans Saints. And one of the guys that will be calling that game for Saints Radio, WWL 105.3 in New Orleans, former Saints running back Deuce McAllister joins us now. Deuce, thanks for hopping on, man. Appreciate it.
What up, Deuce?
Talk him off the rail, Hugh.
Hey, Deuce, I'm trying.
It makes for great radio. It makes for great radio, and it keeps you guys busy, but you got to talk him off the rail.
Hey, Deuce, I'm trying to tell him, man, that you're not as good as you're as bad as you see on Sunday, especially the two-game sampling size. But with that being said, Deuce, your team is 2-0, so what are they talking about down there in the Big Easy, man?
Hugh, they were 2-0 last year. I mean, until they were in the same position last year as what's that?
Ooh, we got a bad connect. We might be losing
Deuce. We might need to give Deuce a call back there, or Deuce, you there?
No, I'm here. Can you?
Yeah, we got a little bit of a connection issue.
Yeah, let's see if we can maybe give Deuce let's give Deuce a call back there.
I tell you what though, Deuce says something that I hope a lot of people heard. Is like you again, first month of the season, you're never as good as you're bad or as bad as you know, the month of the first few weeks of the season. I remember one time, just to give you a little perspective, I was in Jacksonville. If I'm not mistaken, the Eagles started 0-2. That was the first year of the link.
Yeah, 0-3. Oh,
yeah,
terrible.
Ended up going to the NFC Championship game. So it's one of those things, man, where you just gotta let it play out, man.
It did. And Deuce, Hugh is trying to calm everybody down this week. But as he asked you, what is the feeling in New Orleans after this hot start?
Well, I think from a player standpoint, they have belief. From a fan standpoint, they're still unsure. It was obviously a big test last week to go to Dallas and play how you did, but now you get another, you know, opponent that is expected to be in the playoffs, is expected, you know, to compete for the NFC Championship, et cetera. So there's still some uncertainty from a fan standpoint, but from a player standpoint, there's belief. They believe that they can compete and they want to be able to go out there and show it.
So tell me a little bit about the resurgence of Alvin Kamara, man. He looks like he's been rejuvenated in that offense this season.
He was always there. You need lanes to run. I mean, I don't care how good you are as a runner. If there's no run lanes, and then, you know, from a usage standpoint, if you're not having success and you go away from it, then it's frustration. It's frustration. And so, you know, you talk about dealing with maybe some nicks and bruises the last couple of years, but Alvin's been Alvin, and so people are starting to see it again. But there, you know, the last couple of years, the numbers may not have been great, but there was no drop off in how he performed. How he, maybe from a performance standpoint, there was drop off, but there was no drop off on ability standpoint. He's been explosive, you know, to get him in space. That's what you want to do, and so you're starting to see the normal, regular Alvin the first two games.
Yeah, Deuce, and the Saints' offense, especially running the football, looked really good the first 2 weeks. How big of an impact has new offensive coordinator Clint Kubiak had down there in New Orleans?
It's been really, it's been a difference. I mean, because you're talking about almost 20 years of having the Sean Payton system somewhere, and to go from that system to what we've seen the last couple of weeks, it's different. And you know, a lot of it is really off of the outside zone scheme. And so New Orleans goes from a drop back passing team, you know, with Drew Brees and the Sean Payton system, to more of a zone scheme play action team. And that's really who they've been, or who they will be, or who they want to be as far as a team. And so Derek Carr, he likes to play action. And obviously when you can run the football, that helps the play action game. You know, my only concern when you talk about this team and where they are, can they continue to get better in just regular drop back passing? That's where they're going to have to show that they can do it, because at some point you're going to do it. You're not going to lead every game. You're going to be down 10, 14 points at some point, and you're going to have to drop back pass. They haven't had to do that a lot, and that's probably was one of the biggest concerns coming into the season. I mean, from the way that they run the football, you have the guys up front. I mean, you got three first-rounders up front, so it's not like you don't have three first-rounders and a second-rounder. So it's not like you don't have any guys with talent. They just hadn't played, you know, particularly well over the last couple of years.
You know what, dude, speaking of not playing well, then, and I'm pretty sure you watched the Monday night game doing a little bit of early scouting. What did you see from this Eagles defense, and in particular, what did you see from the D-tackles Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis?
I think, you know, from watching it and seeing it and getting a little bit into it, you see a group that maybe is not comfortable completely yet in a system. And I think from a coordinator standpoint and a player's standpoint, they've got to get more comfortable in what they're doing. And so you may see some tweaking this week as far as how they're doing it, how they're trying to attack. You know, when you talk about Carter and Davis, if you're able to double Carter, then you don't see a lot of other guys winning some one-on-ones. And Hugh, sometimes it's about effort and understanding and, you know, being able to run a play down from the backside, particularly when it's a zone, mm-hmm. a zone team that likes to cut. I mean, and so if I'm getting cut on the backside, that running back is just going to sell it. He's going to cut it back. And so some of that's going to be effort, and some of it is understanding my gap responsibility. And so I don't see a defensive line that is comfortable yet. But, you know, Atlanta does a really nice job with that offensive line on those cut blocks as far as, you know, some of the zone stuff that they like to run.
Deuce McAllister joining us now, calls the games on Saints Radio, 105.3 FM, WWL, obviously, former Saints running back. And, Deuce, you mentioned Derek Carr earlier on, and I guess being in more of a role, they're running the ball a lot of play action. Is that at this point in his career kind of the better role for Derek Carr to be put in, where he can manage the game kind of that way? And you know, what can you tell us about those receivers down the field, Olave and Shaheed, because they've made some big plays early on so far?
Well, when he's been successful, when he had success out in with the Raiders, it was the play action. It was, you know, throwing the ball deep, not necessarily all underneath intermediate stuff, but he can do that. And so I think that they're just playing to his strengths, because in the past when he's had success, it was an offense that was built similar to this one. And so I think it fits for him on how you can have him to be comfortable, how he can be successful. You know, I don't know if he likes to just drop back 30 times, 40 times in a game with no play action, et cetera. I mean, because you go back and even look at last year, he had a good average per throw off of play action. You know, the Saints just didn't do it a ton. And so it's been a totally different change for him this first couple of years. And when you talk about the receivers, it's interesting because you have one, Rashid Shaheed, who is a guy that can run a complete route tree, but it's his speed. And I think, you know, teams know he's fast because of the respect that they give him, how far they play off, but he's still been able to run past people. And then if you're going to respect him in that way, that opens up so much more stuff for a guy like Chris Olave, who is, you know, your number one receiver right now, and he's, you know, has put up good numbers, maybe not up to his standard that he wants to at this point. But for me and the Saints, how they've used Taysom Hill is really dictated, you know, what defenses do. And so Taysom's a guy that lines up at the tailback position, at the fullback position, at the H, and at the tight end position. He's in the game with a fullback. He's in the game with two other tailbacks. He's in the game with a tight end. How are you playing him really determines some of the stuff that they've been able to call. And so if you're going to play him with the 4-3 look then, you know, the Saints are probably going to say, hey, look, we're going to pass it a little bit more because we feel like we have some mismatches. If you're going to play them a little light, they've been able to say, okay, you're going to go 11 or you're going to go a nickel against us. We're going to run the ball. We feel like that we can match up and run the ball against you. And so it's been intriguing to see them move him around and how defenses have countered with him and the different personnel that's in the game.
And one more from me, Deuce. When you look at the Saints' defense, pretty good so far this year. Obviously, dominated Carolina week one, held Dallas to 19 last week. What have you seen from them so far?
Well, I think when you look at that defense, they've always been good. I think the one thing that they did last year, I mean, this past offseason, was add some speed. And that was, you know, just because you have an older group of guys and then being able to get some production from your defensive line and not having to blitz. Now, yes, I know week one you had a cornerback, Alante Taylor, that had three sacks. But, you know, that's normally not what they like to do as far as bring pressure from the slot. They will, but that's not what they want to do. They want to be able to stop the run and then get after the passer, you know, with some exotic looks, some different looks, whether it's three down, four down, be able to run some twists, some stunts, and things of that nature. So defense, they've always been good. You know, you just couldn't get any complimentary football from your offense.
Well, that's Deuce McAllister calling the game this Sunday at 1 o'clock, 105.3 WWL down in New Orleans. Deuce, thanks a lot for joining us, man. Really
appreciate you, Deuce.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
Have a good one.
Take it easy. Deuce McAllister. I just remember I hated when the Eagles played against the Saints. Deuce
it was
McAllister.
Physical, man.
You couldn't bring that guy down.
Yeah, Deuce was one of them old-school throwback fullback. I mean tailbacks, man. Big guy, man. They don't like that was in an era where you had there was a heavy emphasis on making sure teams didn't run against you a whole lot. You know, in this passing era, the passing league is cool, but back then, man, what'd you say? Well, get my neck rolled, boy. Yeah. You had to button your chin strap. Like seriously,
he looked. I mean, it just looked painful to tackle Deuce McAllister.
Yeah,
he kind of looked like Saquon a little bit.
Yeah. Or right. Saquon look like him.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
215-592-9494 if you want to get in. So that was Deuce McAllister previewing this week's game against the Saints. And we'll get to a lot more calls on the Eagles coming up when we get back. We're giving away Phillies tickets when we get back. A third Hughes clue.
The third one.
To help give it away. This one might help people out here. Plus, we'll play the best from Jason Kelce this morning on the morning show. Some good stuff from Jason looking ahead to this week as well. This is the Midday Show. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio alongside Hugh Douglas, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Not this song again, Kyle.
You bullied me out of the last one, so now we're back to Hakuna Matata.
That's my fault. I shouldn't have bullied you out of the music.
Back to the positivity.
So now we get back to this.
You bullied me out of it, too. I mean, immediately trashed Nirvana. You got Hakuna Matata.
Speaking of bullied, I feel
I feel attacked.
Like I'm getting bullied around the office today. For some reason, everybody keeps asking me if I got a haircut. Keeps asking me if I got a haircut.
Your hair's thinning?
Because Richie asked me this morning, and Richie has told everybody else, apparently, to ask me all day if I've gotten a haircut. Mike Angelina's asking me. Tucker's asking me. Dave Breitmeyer's asking me.
Well, you know, because they know it bothers you.
Yeah, it does bother me.
Do you need to visit Dr. Rafi?
Dr. Rafi, he said if you're getting back in the game. But you're married, though, so you don't have to get back in the day.
Yeah,
game.
I don't need to get back
you're
in the
game. You're trying to get clients or whatever.
Yeah.
Hair helps.
But, yeah. Stop asking me if I got my hair cut, all right?
Shameless plug.
I got a cut 3 weeks ago. 215-592-9494. If you want to get in. Coming up in a few minutes here, we'll have the third clue for Hughes Clues. We will also listen to some of what Jason Kelce had to say this morning during his weekly appearance on the morning show. But the main thing we're talking about today, are we overreacting to the Eagles' loss Monday night? I say no. I do not think we're overreacting. There are some bad signs here. You look at the defense, you look at the defensive line. This thing could trend in the wrong direction very quickly. Hugh, you think, take a deep breath. Hakuna Matata, we're 1-1. Everything's going to be all right, correct?
Yeah, I think that this team is still good. Now, the defense has to play better, man. I mean, I'm not a dummy. I see what everybody else sees, and I have the same concerns that everybody else has. But, again, going back to my past experiences, I remember my first couple of games in the league. I didn't play well, didn't show up on the stat sheet, and then it all came together for me. Hopefully, it's the same for Bryce Huff and these guys. You know, you're never as good or as bad as your record states at the beginning of the season. I think it takes a little while to get going. You know, and there's plenty of examples, if you look around the league, of teams that got off to rough starts. I can't imagine what the conversation is in Baltimore.
Oh, I mean,
you know.
And you talk about a big game this week. They go to Dallas. Yeah. I mean, they could be 0-3.
And then think about it from this perspective for the Atlanta Falcons. They got the Kansas City Chiefs this week.
Mm-hmm.
So from their perspective, they almost had – this was a – like, we talk about it up here. We make it sound ridiculous or whatever. But it was almost a must-win game for them.
They feel like they saved their season.
That was a must-win game. Now they feel like they're in a position where they can survive. Because 1-2 for them does not sound great.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not. And they know that going to Kansas City, they feel like they got a chance. But let's be realistic. They'll probably come out of there with an L.
Yeah. And, hey, it is early. A lot of teams have lost games they probably weren't projected to lose early on. For me, though, it's more about the signs of what we're seeing and what could become bigger issues later in the year. But if you want to get in, you're welcome to. Let's go back to the phones. Go to Brian in Clifton Heights. What's up, Brian?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. I agree with you wholeheartedly on this with, the defense. But, look. The quarterback's a top five paid quarterback. They have three offensive linemen that are really highly paid. They got two wideouts that are ridiculously high paid. They got a high paid tight end.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the team they built. They know they have to score 35 points because their defense, if Carter and Davis do not dominate and take up double teams, Nolan Smith, Nakobe Dean, Bryce Huff, Braun, they can't shed tackles if they can't make the other side one-dimensional.
Mm.
In my eyes, they're all third-down specialists. That's what they are. I mean, they're not every-down Packers. They're not. But if you pay the one side of the ball that much money, I mean, I don't know what you're going to expect on the defensive side of the ball. I don't, Nick Fangio, I mean, maybe he can make it work. Maybe that's why they got him, but... I mean, are these guys any more than third down specialists on the defensive side of the ball?
I think they can play better. Like, for me, the thing that I see is everything that I see that's wrong with this defense right now is fundamentals. Like, fundamental, like hand placement, the way that they rush the passer. the way that they approach certain downs and distances and certain situations during the course of the game, all of that's correctable. And you know what the thing that really bothers me about this is the fact that we went through training camp and we were implementing a philosophy. But at certain points, you got to do what your instincts or you got to coach certain technique to help you help the defense get better. Like the thing that I think about is how the defensive line does not play with their hands. You're getting double teamed and stuff, and you're getting wired to blocks. You can't get wired to blocks, man. You can't have that happen.
I mean, I think these guys are. I think Nolan Smith and Nakobe Dean, especially if you looked in college, that them tackles dominated so much. These guys had free reign. From sideline to sideline.
That's kind of how it's supposed to be.
This is the thing. I put that on the front office because you look at this defense, it's not like they haven't invested. I mean, Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith are all first-round picks. They spend $17 million a year on Bryce Huff. You have Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, two first-round picks in your secondary, and they signed C.J. Gardner-Johnson. So it's not like they didn't invest at all in this defense.
Well, but that you said it what I'm saying. I blame the GM here. They went big money on the offensive side of the ball with veterans, and they're drafting on defense. Their plan is just not working. You know, the guys they drafted are not picking up the standards. I mean, besides Jalen Carter, I don't think any other draft picks on that front seven are worth, you know, anything. No,
they haven't been to this point, Brian. What's your guess for Hughes Clues?
Well, I was thinking back and forth. I couldn't think of nothing, but you know, I was thinking the guy cooking the sausage, Greg Wazinski. But you know, I don't know his son is the place for the NFL, so I was kind of. But I had to go with that.
Okay, so you went with the bull. It's not the bull, Greg Wazinski. So another wrong guess.
Yeah, that's. That I mean, but that was a good guess. I mean, it was wrong, but it was a pretty good guess. You're thinking outside the box.
Came up with the sausage salesman.
Yeah, and. The thing that I know it was a pretty good guess because nobody's actually killing me for bad clues this week.
No, I think the clues just, have been
either,
pretty good.
Either it's that or they're just frustrated with me.
You're doing great here.
I'm just saying.
Your clues are tremendous today. You're doing a heck of a job.
No, I take that back. I am getting killed for these clues.
Don't pamper him.
Hey, listen. Wait a minute. I take it back. I'm getting killed for these clues.
The only thing, it was great, though. I got to give a little behind the scenes here because your iPad kind of went off again. The look on Kyle's face of, like, the disappointed father was
just a joke, quite frankly.
The disappointed father look is a big one this week. No, but it's like, you know how you cut it off, and when you cut it back on, it automatically,
yeah,
it goes back. I guess it goes back.
That's
to the
not how it works.
But I just look in there.
Mine does.
No. And you silence a phone, it's silenced. It doesn't just magically go back up.
I promise you, I always turn the sound down, and then it pops right back
Kyle's
up.
Face was just like... Not
it's
again.
Because it's not like the fifth time that it happened.
No, I'm saying
it's got
to
stop.
But see, I got that I got that new phone though. Kyle got that old phone. He don't know how that new phone.
No. I mean, if anything, the new phone should prevent those things from happening.
He got that old phone.
The new phones don't glitch like that. They don't just magically turn their own volume up.
I got this newfangled.
My old phone's better than your new one, apparently. But you never hear mine going off, do you?
It's Hughes' world. We're just living in it. Okay, so you can do what he wants.
It's an accident.
It's all good, Hugh. 215-592-9494. But we got to get to Kelsey's takes. Jason Kelce did his weekly appearance this week on the morning show this morning. And first, here was Jason talking about Nick, who obviously Nick Sirianni's under a lot of heat this week. Here was Jason on Nick and his role right now.
Listen, he's not calling plays, obviously, which there are a number of, I would probably say the majority of head coaches either call plays or at least are very involved offensively or defensively. But there are a handful of coaches, two of which were in both of the championship games, and Dan Campbell and John Harbaugh, that don't do that. And I think the reality is there is a mold where, as a head coach, you are really a organizational leadership linchpin. We saw that, I think, a little bit with Pete Carroll, too, throughout the years. I don't know how much he was definitely on the defensive side, but, I mean, it's tough to know what all the other coaches do. So I'll just focus on Nick. I think there is incredible merit, in my opinion, to having somebody who is kind of the center in command for all of this. And their main job is to steer the team and the offense and the defense in the proper direction. And they do that with one, great knowledge of the game, but also two, great personal relationships, great great character. And I think that Nick really does all of that well. He's a great communicator. He really is.
Hugh, what'd you make of that answer of Jason describing Nick's role? I felt like Jason was trying to portray Nick in a positive light there. But again, he kind of struggled to define exactly what he does.
Well, he's talking about Coach Sirianni from his relationship perspective,
right,
and how he interacts with him, which I have to say is different. Like, your relationship is going to be different because of who you are and the cachet that you bring to the table. I mean, hell, you're a Hall of Famer. You're a Hall of Fame center that when he got here, you were on that Hall of Fame trajectory. So, you know, Jason's going to be treated a little different. So he's talking about it from his perspective. Now, if you're asking me what do I think about Coach Sirianni and how the team feels about him, I think they like him. I think they do. I think they have a lot of respect for him. To define what he does, the culture set and all of this stuff, I think that's kind of hard to do because the water's been muddied. And I think it's been muddied even more when you have this report that's out there that he didn't break the team down. Mm-hmm. Now, for me personally, that is not a big deal because I look at it from the perspective of maybe somebody in the team said, hey, coach, let us talk about this. And I don't have a problem with that personally, but the issue comes in where you have a team that we still don't know what happened last year. Because a lot of people, we talk about how we don't compare this team to last year's team, but we do. And when we hear stuff like that, it brings up bad memories.
Right.
It brings up bad memories about what happened. And now we need to know why Coach Sirianni didn't break the team down.
And I think that's the thing, Hugh. Like, in any other circumstance, like if it's in Baltimore and the players say, hey, we got it, and John Harbaugh doesn't address the team.
Yeah, because of the culture. It's the culture.
Right, and because of what happened last year. So I agree with that. Now, also, Jason Kelce talking about what happened at the end of the game. Obviously, Eagles throwing the ball on 3rd-and-3, then kicking the field goal on 4th-down. Here was Jason's take on what happened.
I think after you get the incompletion, it's a no-brainer. You kick it. The question is, if you thought you were going to go for it after that, do you do that? You run the ball on 3rd-down then, for sure, right?
Yeah.
So I think that really it's not a comparable thing. Like, they would have had a minute left if you were going to go for it on 4th-down and you don't convert. But a minute to go, I mean, they went on their first 3 plays, they went how many yards in like 30 seconds?
It felt
like. I mean, it was fast.
It was bad.
And to me, the way the game was going, Atlanta was not getting in the end zone very easily. They had just scored like their first touchdown. Like, they were not operating that great in the red zone. So I felt pretty confident in the defense at least holding them out of the end zone with the limited time on a 2-minute drill. Obviously, that was not the case. And I also think some of these decisions come down to how comfortable do I feel with these play calls? Like, when you get into these scenarios where it's like, you know, you look at the game theory and it's like a 50-ish percent chance. Like, there's different levels of, like, no-brainer decisions and, you know, you're kind of on the fence. Mm-hmm. I think then you have to take into account how the game's going, where if you look into the game, they weren't getting in the end zone that easy. I think that you then take into account, okay, how good do I feel about this play call? Do I feel really strongly that this is going to be open? And, like, for instance, if they felt really strongly that that roll pass was going to be open, that they ended up dropping on 3rd-down,
yep,
if you feel great about that play, maybe you do call that on 4th-down.
And that's the thing, Hugh, and I think that's a fair kind of critique of Jason Kelce. Again, I agreed with the 3rd-down call. I thought it was okay to throw the ball because the play was there, the play worked. It would have worked against that defense. But I think his point there is a good one, where maybe you run the ball on 3rd-down. If you feel really good about that play, then you can run that play on 4th-down instead of taking the field.
Yeah, and that's what we're arguing. Like, and he's kind of saying basically what I say, because as a defender and knowing how demoralizing that play could be if it's successful, that's what you're going for. You remove all doubt that you are the big dog at that point. Kind of the same situation that Atlanta was in when they went for it on 4th-down and they got it, because that's a play where they were going to win the game. And I can't forget it. And it still rings in my head when I heard him say it. Mike Quick said after the play was ran, they're trying to win the football game. And that's what they were trying to do. That's why in that moment, those waning moments of the game, this 30-something-year-old, old-ass quarterback sat back there and he channeled his inner Tom Brady and he let it fly.
What was the word he used to describe him earlier? Feeble?
Feeble ass quarterback.
Feeble ass.
And I say that with all due respect because, like, right now the Atlanta Falcons, they got the big piece of chicken. They're down there in Atlanta feeling real good about themselves.
I don't think you can call somebody feeble ass and then say, with all due respect.
Yeah.
No respect there.
It's
like saying no offense before saying the most offensive thing possible.
Right.
But, like, no offense.
No offense, but, you know, the Eagles coaches
are. It's kind of like when you say with all due respect and then you get disrespectful.
Right.
So it's but all due respect makes it lands a little. A little different.
Maybe. Not at all.
As the one who says it.
Atlanta lands a little different.
We know what you think about Kirk Cousins.
No, I'm just saying.
It
just lands a little different when you say with all due respect. Because you can't get – like, technically, when people tell you with all due respect, they're saying it to let you know you can't get mad because I'm about to get disrespectful.
Which, yeah, that's not the way it
basically
works.
That's how it works. That's not how it works. It is how it works.
It should not work that way.
But it does work that way.
Dude.
How does it not? Because what usually follows after with all due respect? Something disrespectful.
Yeah, exactly. That doesn't lessen the blow.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't. Hugh, think of the most disrespectful thing somebody could ever say to you, okay? Picture that in your head, and then just imagine that with all due respect.
It
doesn't matter.
It does matter.
No, it doesn't.
Because it's coming from a place of love, and you have to, you just kind of have to digest that.
It's coming from a place of like, oh, whoops, this might actually be really offensive.
Try it. And see what happens. No. Nothing's going to happen.
I'm scared about what could happen.
Hey, listen, with all due respect. Say, like, to somebody, like, hey. You have a ball spot with all due respect.
If you went with all due respect,
Moshe's
making this an HR matter here.
Let me
give you an example. If you went up to Nick Sirianni, went to his face, with all due respect, you suck at your job. Do you think he would be okay with that?
Well, I'll say, You know what I would say? I say, Coach. With all due respect,
Lee Scrotum coach.
You should have ran the damn football.
That's not disrespect.
Okay, so
it's
you
not
saying if
he sucks at his job, that's completely different.
Okay, so how about this? Instead, because you know I don't like to use words so you know strong like suck. How about I say this? With all due respect, Coach. That was a horrible ass coaching job you did the other night.
I don't think he would like that.
He wouldn't like it, but he couldn't do nothing about it because I said with all due respect.
Yes, he could.
What could he? He couldn't get mad.
You think that absolves you from getting punched in the mouth for saying something disrespectful?
You can't get mad about that.
Man.
You can't.
This is a ridiculous take.
No, it's not. It's the truth.
Hugh,
try it.
No, go. I'm not going to try.
Out there trying to see the top of Moshe's head right now.
No, Moshe's got a ball spot.
If you went up to some random on the streets of Philly and you said with all due respect, you look like a moron, you would get punched in the face. Maybe not you, because you're a big guy.
Not you.
But I would.
And Kyle would.
Most got a ball spot.
Leave Moshe out of this, man.
He got a ball spot. Like, you can't come to work not knowing that you got a ball. Like, you know you got a ball spot.
Moshe, with all due respect, we're very sorry.
No,
about
Moshe
what
is cool.
Hugh is doing to
I love Moshe, though. Moshe gets stuff done around here. But he does have a ball spot.
He's a good sport, too.
That's a fact, though.
We need the third clue.
You need a third clue?
We need a third clue. Sausage salesman. Some plays in the NFL.
Some plays in the NFL. The third clue
is. We got to move on.
He had one of the most memorable TD celebrations in the history of the NFL. Kind of started the trend of having like these orchestrated, like all over the top. Celebrations. Like this one was pretty innovative.
I get it. It was pretty innovative.
You see what I'm saying? It was pretty innovative.
So he's a sausage salesman.
He sells sausage.
His son plays in the NFL.
Sounds so bad when you say it like that.
Sells that sausage. Son plays in the NFL, and he has one of the most memorable celebrations of all time. There you go.
He's like, what's your job description? I'm a sausage salesman.
it's got a nice ring to it. The alliteration there, not bad.
I'm a sausage salesman. Let's
go to Amir. What's up, Amir?
Hey, how y'all doing?
What's up, man?
So, I don't think the overreaction, not reasonable. I know some people still looking at it, you know, from a last year perspective going into this year. I kind of see it as just this year is just turning over a new leaf. the D line is a major concern, but I think the bigger concern is with the offense not getting the ball to, you know, our playmakers enough. Dallas Goedert, who's the guy we just got from the Commanders?
Jahan Dotson.
Yeah, Jahan Dotson. I just feel like there's no way you can't get these guys involved. You're getting Britton Covey involved with these bubble screens. I just don't see how you can't run those plays to Dotson or Goddard, somebody who can, you know, make an impact on the game, break a tackle. You know, you got Britton Covey out there. He's just getting manhandled. Well,
Amir, I will say this.
With all due respect, Amir, when you say it like that, you got to say it with all due respect.
Yeah, with all due respect, yeah. Britton Covey sucks.
With all due respect. Yeah.
You can't be out there with all due respect, you can't get out there being you can't go out there being manhandled, man. You can't be out there sunned.
It's true.
Getting swinging you around with one arm, guys, just swing. It's like, come on.
Can I just say
has anybody caught more strays than Britton Covey this week?
No, dog. Let me just say this. With all due respect, when I saw that, I was like, I can't tell you exactly what I said, but I was like, man, why are we throwing him the ball, man? Why are we
It don't make sense.
With all due respect,
man. With all due respect.
I mean, I feel like you can just set something up where you got, and then you got Devontae Smith out there blocking for Covey. Like, you can set something up. You got the guy Johnny Wilson out there. I feel like he was a good run blocker, you know, in the preseason. You get him out there, you run those bubble screens to Goddard or Dotson, and I feel like we might get something going. But we know this team is going to be led by the offense, the D-line.
Yeah.
These guys can't get off blocks. I know, Hugh, you said, like, when you started off in the league, you had a rough start. Now, did you have a rough start with not being able to get off blocks? Like, one-on-one tight ends?
Yeah, a little bit. Well, not so much tight ends, but just having situational awareness. And my coach used to be like, Doug, you know, you can't let them get into your body. You're not that big. You're not one of the big guys out there. That's what I see, man. A lot of times with Bryce Huff in particular, because that's the guy that I've been watching. When you watch him rush, man, he doesn't have the separation that you need. I can't describe it, but I'm not going to describe because it sounds weird. But I can't describe it. They're like hugged up with one another. It's like they're tango dancing or something.
Right. Well, Amir, let's get your guess, man. What's your guess for Hughes Clues?
My guess is Joe Horn.
Hey! 100%,
man.
That wasn't that hard, was it, Amir? That wasn't hard.
The NFL, the sun kind of
threw you off a little bit.
He got it even.
No, the sun was a good clue.
Oh, okay. The sun. He said the other clues were not there.
He said it before the celebration. Sausage salesman didn't get it for you, Amir.
Mm-mm. Okay. And I figure, you know, since we're playing the Saints this week, it may have been a Saints, former Saints player.
There's always a tie-in.
That's a thinking man right there.
I figured it was a tie-in.
You know what I'm saying? Amir listens to the show.
That's how
you play Hughes Clues, Amir. Yep.
Good job, buddy. You see what I'm saying? Because we try to tie that thing in every time. Yep.
Good job, Amir. Yep. You've won a pair of tickets to see the Phillies play the Chicago Cubs on Monday, September 23rd. With a 6:40 p.m. first pitch at Citizens Bank Park. For tickets, go to phillies.com. Congrats, Amir.
Appreciate it, y'all.
There you go, man. So Amir is the winner of tickets. Good job, Hugh.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, I know people get mad at me about these clues, but you have to think a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. I don't try to make them that hard.
With all due respect, just be smarter. Just don't be dumb.
See, you can't get mad at that.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't. With all due respect, you can't get mad at that.
With all due respect.
It helps. It helps everything.
We need to get to, we talked about Jason Kelce and Kelce's takes and some of the things he said on the morning show. But if you didn't hear this, we got to play it again for you. This is played this morning on the morning show. The great Joe Conklin, because Jason Kelce, hey, he's all over your TV. He's on pregame shows. He's on commercials. He's everywhere. Here was Joe Conklin and what Jason Kelce's got in the works coming up next.
Philadelphia!
Cream cheese.
Hi, I'm Jason Kelce, and I'll do anything for a buck. F it, make it half a buck. Give me 50 cents, and I'll give you a hell yeah! If you're constantly walking to the bank to cash checks because you can't say no to anything, give your feet a break with Dr. Scholl's orthopedic shoes.
Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Not as much as what's in my wallet! Hey, if you're having a children's party, don't hire some clown! You can hire me for your party. Plus, if you got hungry dogs, I'll walk them.
Hey, it's Jody Cameron here.
And I'm Jason Kelce for
The Hammer!
Did you ever scream so loud that it drains all the blood from your favorite extremity? Try Kelce Alice. Buy Bitcoin. I don't know what it is, but if it's currency, I'm all in. If you've got nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, hire me now.
That's great stuff. The Kelce Alice.
That was pretty good. Yeah. That was pretty good, man.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at Jason for being all over the place. I'm not mad at that.
With all due respect, it's just, you know, he's everywhere.
He's prostituting himself, yeah. And he's getting.
I wouldn't put it that way.
No, but it is. It's prostituting yourself.
Okay.
And he's getting a nice little chunk of cheese for it.
Yeah, he is.
Like, he's doing cereal commercials, man. He's out there. You know, it's funny to me.
I like the one with him in the Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah, that was pretty good. You know what's funny to me, man? And he handles it way better than I would ever handle it.
Yeah.
Especially on social media. He was out there dancing like nobody cared, and people were mad at him. I was like, man, do your thing.
Well,
live your best life.
He's doing great, and Joe Conklin, great bit. Conklin's doing great as well. See Conklin with the City Rhythm Orchestra at the Media Theater in Media, PA on Saturday, November 16th. It's the story of Philly sports through music. Get tickets at joeconklin.com. Also, Parks Comedy Night at Parks Casino every Thursday, next Thursday, September 26th. See Joe Bartnick from The Bill Burr Show. Get tickets at joeconklin.com. When we get back, we will get to a recent report about Hassan Reddick and when we could potentially see a resolution. That's coming up next. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio alongside Hugh Douglas. It's the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Hugh Douglas, Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today. This is the Midday Show. If you want to get in, 215-592-9494. Talking a lot about the Eagles. Are we overreacting to the Monday night loss? Also,
yes.
Starting to look ahead to Sunday. Eagles, Saints, 1 o'clock. But we got to check in on another situation going on around the NFL, Hugh. And that's our old friend Hassan Reddick, who has been sitting out. Jets play tonight. Hassan Reddick, guessing, will not be playing tonight.
No, but they probably talking to her.
Yeah. They're dealing with issues. They need him back. And there's an update. What do we have, Kyle? What's the latest on Hassan Reddick?
So ESPN insider Dan Graziano said on an article he posted just yesterday, quote, "Nothing was ever likely to happen this week. The Jets have a quick turnaround for a Thursday night game against the Patriots, but they know they need to do something about the pass rush. And solving the Reddick dilemma would seem to be the straightest line to a solution. Keep an eye out this weekend and early next week for potential movement on the Hassan Reddick front with the Jets. If nothing happens on this situation next week, people around the league believe that it's possible nothing will, and the Jets might end up having to trade Reddick between now and the trade deadline."
Interesting. And Hassan Reddick, by the way, at 11:01 today, a cryptic tweet tweeted out, "God will always make a way," and then prayer hands emoji.
Yeah, so he's probably talking about either they're negotiating or they're negotiating a contract, or they are negotiating his release.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, Hugh, I was, even as recently as last week, I was against trading for Hassan Reddick, thought, hey, this won't be a good solution. After watching that defensive line on Monday night, just go get him. Just go get Hassan Reddick back here. I can't watch these defensive ends all season. Bring Hassan Reddick back.
You know what's funny about that?
Bring him back.
I hear what everybody's saying. I don't know, because that's basically saying you screwed up. Bryce Huff isn't that good.
They
you
did
want
screw
some pass
up.
Pass rush. I don't know if we're there yet. I'm not saying that you're wrong. I don't think that we're there yet. I don't think we're at that crossroads where we're willing to make that decision. And with this situation being as fluid as it is, I don't know if whatever happens this weekend will speed that up. If you get what I'm saying.
Right.
I don't think that the Eagles are in a position, or Howie for that matter, that feel like, hey, we screwed up when it came to Hassan Reddick.
I just think we're at a point where they need something. They need a pass rush. Kyle, where do you stand on that? If you're the Eagles, are you seriously looking into this? Because I wasn't before, but I can't watch this all
of
year.
Course. There's, I mean, it looks pretty clear that it was a big mistake to let Reddick walk and bring Bryce Huff in. I don't think, like, can anyone deny that right now? Hassan Reddick is like a 10-sack a season guy. Bryce Huff looks like he might have got 10 tackles this year.
When I see Nolan Smith getting, pancaked by Bijan Robinson.
It's
not so much pancake. It's a chip block. Chip blocks are crucial.
With all due respect, Nolan, that was pathetic.
Yeah, with all due respect, boy, you got blasted.
So he can't get mad at me. Let's go back to the phones. Go to Ken in Cinnaminson. What's up, Ken?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
What's up, Ken?
Before I get to my main reason for calling, with all due respect, I don't want Hassan Reddick anywhere near this locker room, and neither does Howie Roseman. And Hugh knows I'm going to say this because he heard me say it all year last year for the second half of the season. Why would you want to bring Hassan Reddick back to wreck the locker room and do whatever he wants on the field, not play assignment football, and just go chase sacks to try and get paid? I don't want him back. That's why he's gone. So,
well, Ken, nobody else on the team can get sacks.
Well, it doesn't matter, Joe. Or Tom, it doesn't matter. He was the problem in the locker room, and Hugh will back me up on this. He spent the entire second half of the season chasing sacks to try and get paid, and the funny thing is, when he started chasing sacks, he had no sacks. So when you hear the stat about, well, their edge rushers haven't recorded a sack in the last 9 games, that includes Hassan Reddick. So let's look, that ship has sailed, and we should all be thankful that it left the port. So move on. Jalix Hunt's going to get more snaps. That's what's going to happen.
Oh, Jalix Hunt's going to save the season. Well, I hope you're right, Ken.
I didn't say that. I said Jalix Hunt's going to get more snaps.
Okay. What else you got, Ken?
The main reason I called, you know, bless your heart, Tom, on carrying water for the billionaires with this arena. There's a few things that these perpetual lies that have been told for generations now by these billionaire owners to try to get their way on these stadiums, these arenas, So the first one is this lie that, you know, the number of people that drive to games is going to go down from 75% to 40%. That's not going to happen. The government has tried for generations to change behavior of people that they want to change, and they can't change it. They've been trying to force people to buy electric cars for 20 years. Electric cars still represent 2% of all new car sales in the United States of America. 2%. And that's the Department of Transportation's number. That's not mine. So people are going to get to the games the way that is easiest and most convenient for them. So that's going to go from driving their own car to calling an Uber. It's already unsafe to be a pedestrian in Center City or ride a bicycle in Center City. Now we're going to throw some more ride shares into Center City to run over some more pedestrians and run over some more bicyclists.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is this lie that has been told for generations about all this economic impact that comes into the economy when you build these new arenas. And it never, ever happens. And there's so much data out there, and it never, ever happens. So there'll be some temporary union jobs with the iron workers and the steel workers and the glazers and all that. But they're going to get those jobs no matter where they build that arena in Philadelphia. So that's a push. And those are temporary jobs. I mean, if all you have to do is look, I'm older than you guys. I live in New Jersey. I've lived in New Jersey my whole life for the most part. And these are the same lies that were told to the residents of the state of New Jersey 40 years ago about casino gambling in Atlantic City.
Well, Ken, I hear you, but what's the other solution? I mean, the Sixers need a place to play. What's the other solution?
They were never going to go to Camden. Just like Norman Braman was never going to move the Eagles to Arizona, they were never going to go to Camden. It wasn't the Sixers that threatened to go to Camden. It was our governor over here, Tom Murphy, saying, hey, come over here. We'll give you whatever you want. And all he did was help Josh Harris.
Well, I got you, Ken. And I'm sorry, we're up against it. We got to move on. But this is the thing. I get the traffic part of it. But I don't think taking trains to games is something that's impossible for people to do.
I don't think, like I said, I'm not. And when I heard Ike say it yesterday, I had the same thought process. I'm going to park here, and I'll take an Uber
right,
or something like that. I'm just not getting on the train. That's just not what I want to do. So, and like, you're just going to have people ride sharing probably more than anything, but the traffic's still going to be the same.
Maybe. It's going to be the traffic's going to be bad, but I do think, like, there weren't a lot of – the Sixers did not want to share an arena with the Flyers anymore. They wanted their own place, and, you know, I think this is the solution that could end up working out, and I think people will need to find alternative ways to get to games. Taking the regional rail, I don't think is crazy to suggest. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. We'll get to a bunch of your calls in the final hour. Your thoughts on the Eagles after 2 weeks. Have we overreacted to the loss? Quick check in on the Phillies next as well. Tough loss last night for the Phillies, but a big series coming up tonight. Taiwan on the mound tonight, getting the start.
He's going to get it done for
He's
us.
He's back, Hugh.
I think Kyle predicted this, too.
End your calls. All that coming up next. Tom Kelly, Hugh Douglas, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Not this song again, Kyle.
You bullied me out of the last one, so we're back to Hakuna Matata.
That's my fault. I shouldn't have bullied you out of the somber music.
Back to the positivity.
So now we get back to this.
You bullied me out of it, too. I mean, immediately trashed Nirvana. You got Hakuna Matata.
Speaking of bullied,
I feel like
I'm getting bullied around the office today. For some reason, everybody keeps asking me if I got a haircut.
Your hair thinning?
Because Richie asked me this morning, and Richie has told Rocky? Everybody else, apparently, to ask me all day if I've gotten a haircut. Mike Angelina's asking me. Tucker's asking me. Dave Breitmeyer's asking me.
Well, you know, because they know it bothers you.
Yeah, it does bother me.
Do you need to visit Dr. Rafi?
He said if you're getting back in the game. But you're married, though, so you don't have to get back in the day.
Yeah,
game.
I don't need to get back
you're
in the
game. You're trying to get clients or whatever.
Yeah.
Hair helps.
But, yeah. Stop asking me if I got my hair cut, all right?
Shameless plug.
I got it cut 3 weeks ago. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Coming up in a few minutes here, we'll have the third clue for Hughes Clues. We will also listen to some of what Jason Kelce had to say this morning during his weekly appearance on the morning show. But the main thing we're talking about today, are we overreacting to the Eagles' loss Monday night? I say no. I do not think we're overreacting. There are some bad signs here. You look at the defense, you look at the defensive line. This thing could trend in the wrong direction very quickly. Hugh, you think, take a deep breath. Hakuna Matata, we're 1-1. Everything's going to be all right, correct?
Yeah, I think that this team is still good. Now, the defense has to play better, man. I mean, I'm not a dummy. I see what everybody else sees, and I have the same concerns that everybody else has. But, again, going back to my past experiences, I remember my first couple of games in the league. I didn't play well, didn't show up on the stat sheet, and then it all came together for me. Hopefully, it's the same for Bryce Huff and these guys. You know, you're never as good or as bad as your record states at the beginning of the season. I think it takes a little while to get going. You know, and there's plenty of examples, if you look around the league, of teams that got off to rough starts. I can't imagine what the conversation is in Baltimore.
Oh, I mean,
you know.
And you talk about a big game this week. They go to Dallas.
Yeah.
I mean, they could be 0-3.
Yeah, and then think about it from this perspective for the Atlanta Falcons. They got the Kansas City Chiefs this week.
Mm-hmm.
So from their perspective, they almost had, this was a, like we talk about it up here, we make it sound ridiculous or whatever, but it was almost a must-win game for them.
They feel like they saved their season.
That was a must-win game. Now they feel like they're in a position where they can survive. Because 1-2 for them does not sound great.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not. And they know that going to Kansas City, they feel like they got a chance, but let's be realistic. They'll probably come out of there with an L.
Yeah. And, hey, it is early. A lot of teams have lost games they probably weren't projected to lose early on. For me, though, it's more about the signs of what we're seeing and what could become bigger issues later in the year. But if you want to get in, you're welcome to. Let's go back to the phones. Go to Brian in Clifton Heights. What's up, Brian?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. I agree with you wholeheartedly on this with, the defense. But, look. The quarterback's a top five paid quarterback. They have three offensive linemen that are really highly paid. They got two wideouts that are ridiculously high paid. They got a high paid tight end.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the team they built. They know they have to score 35 points because their defense, if Carter and Davis do not dominate and take up double teams, Nolan Smith, N'Kobe Dean, Bryce Huff, Braun, they can't shed tackles if they can't make the other side one-dimensional.
Mm.
In my eyes, they're all third-down specialists. That's what they are. I mean, they're not every down backers. They're not. But if you pay the one side of the ball that much money, I mean, I don't know what you're going to expect on the defensive side of the ball. I don't, Nick Fangio, I mean, maybe he can make it work. Maybe that's why they got him, but I mean, are these guys any more than third down specialists on the defensive side of the ball?
I think they can play better. Like, for me, the thing that I see is everything that I see that's wrong with this defense right now is fundamentals. Like, fundamental, like hand placement, the way that they rush the passer, the way that they approach certain downs and distances and certain situations during the course of the game, all of that's correctable. And you know what the thing that really bothers me about this is the fact that we went through training camp and we were implementing a philosophy. But at certain points, you got to do what your instincts or you got to coach certain technique to help you help the defense get better. Like the thing that I think about is how the defensive line does not play with their hands. You're getting double teamed and stuff, and you're getting wired to blocks. You can't get wired to blocks, man. You can't have that happen.
I mean, I think these guys are. I think Nolan Smith and N'Kobe Dean, especially if you looked in college, that them tackles dominated so much. These guys had free reign from tackle from sideline to sideline.
That's kind of how it's supposed to be.
This
though,
is the thing. I put that on the front office because you look at this defense. It's not like they haven't invested. I mean, Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith are all first round picks. They spend $17 million a year on Bryce Huff. You have Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, two first round picks in your secondary, and they signed C.J. Gardner Johnson. So it's not like they didn't invest at all in this defense.
Well, but that you said it. What I'm saying, I blame the GM here. They went big money on the offensive side of the ball with veterans, and they're drafting on defense. Their plan is just not working. You know, the guys they drafted are not making up the standards. I mean, Jalen. Besides Jalen Carter, I don't think any other draft picks on that front seven are worth. Anything.
They haven't been to this point, Brian. What's your guess for Hughes Clues?
Well, I was thinking back and forth. I couldn't think of nothing, but, I was thinking the guy cooking the sausage, Greg Luzinski, but, I don't know his son is plays for the NFL, so I was kind of, but I had to go with that.
Okay, so you went with the Bull. It's not the Bull, Greg Luzinski. So another wrong guess.
Yeah, but that was a good guess. I mean, it was wrong, but it was a pretty good guess. You're thinking outside the box.
Came up with the sausage salesman.
Yeah, and the thing that I know it was a pretty good guess because nobody's actually killing me for bad clues this week.
No, I think your clues just, have been
either,
pretty good.
Either is that or they're just. Frustrated with me.
You're doing great here.
I'm just
your
saying.
Your clues
I'm
are tremendous today. You're doing a heck of
no,
a job.
No, I take that back. I am getting killed for these clues.
Don't you pamper are. Him.
Hey, listen. Wait a minute. I take it back. I'm getting killed for these clues.
The only thing, it was great, though. I got to give a little behind the scenes here because your iPad kind of went off again. The look on Kyle's face of, like, the disappointed father. Was no, just
this is yeah, a joke, quite that, frankly.
The disappointed father look is a big one this week. No, but it's like, you know how you cut it off, and when you cut it back on, it automatically,
yeah.
It goes back. I guess it goes back
that's
to the
That's not how it
works.
But I just look in there.
Mine does.
I just look in there.
No. And if Kyle, you silence a phone, it's silenced. It doesn't just magically go
always,
back up.
I promise you, I always turn the sound down, and then it pops right back
Kyle's
up.
Face was just like... Not
it's
again.
Dead, well, because it's
not
like the
again.
Fifth time that it happened.
No, I'm saying
it's got
to
stop.
But see, I got that like not to try to. I got that new phone though. Kyle got that old phone. He don't know how that new phone.
No. I mean, if anything, the new phone should prevent those things from happening.
He got that old.
The new phones don't glitch this, like that. They don't just magically turn their own volume up.
I got this newfangled.
My old phone's better than your new one, apparently. But you never hear mine going off, do you?
It's Hughes' world. We're just living in it. Okay, so you can do what he wants.
It's an accident.
It's all good, Hugh. 215-592-9494. But we got to get to Kelsey's takes. Jason Kelce did his weekly appearance this week on the morning show this morning. And first, here was Jason talking about Nick, who obviously Nick Sirianni's under a lot of heat this week. Here was Jason on Nick and his role right now.
Listen, he's not calling plays, obviously, which there are a number of, I would probably say the majority of head coaches either call plays or at least are very involved offensively or defensively. But there are a handful of coaches, two of which were in both of the championship games, and Dan Campbell and John Harbaugh, that don't do that. And I think the reality is there is a mold where, as a head coach, you are really a organizational leadership linchpin. We saw that, I think, a little bit with Pete Carroll, too, throughout the years. I don't know how much he was definitely on the defensive side, but, I mean, it's tough to know what all the other coaches do. So I'll just focus on Nick. I think there is incredible merit, in my opinion, to having somebody who is kind of the center in command for all of this. And their main job is to steer the team and the offense and the defense in the proper direction. And they do that with one, great knowledge of the game, but also two, great personal relationships, great character. And I think that Nick really does all of that well. He's a great communicator. He really is.
Hugh, what'd you make of that answer of Jason describing Nick's role? I felt like Jason was trying to portray Nick in a positive light there. But again, he kind of struggled to define exactly what he does.
Well, he's talking about Coach Sirianni from his relationship perspective,
right,
and how he interacts with him, which I have to say is different. Like, your relationship is going to be different because of who you are and the cachet that you bring to the table. I mean, hell, you're a Hall of Famer. You're a Hall of Fame center that – when he got here, you were on that Hall of Fame trajectory. So, you know, Jason's going to be treated a little different. So he's talking about it from his perspective. Now, if you're asking me what do I think about Coach Sirianni and how the team feels about him, I think they like him. I think they do. I think they have a lot of respect for him. To define what he does, the culture set and all of that stuff, I think that's kind of hard to do because the water's been muddied. And I think it's been muddied even more when – you have this report that's out there that he didn't break the team down. Mm-hmm. Now, for me personally, that is not a big deal because I look at it from the perspective of maybe somebody in the team say, hey, coach, let us talk about this. And I don't have a problem with that personally, but the issue comes in where you have a team that we still don't know what happened last year because a lot of people, we talk about how we don't compare this team to last year's team, but we do. And when we hear stuff like that, it brings up bad memories.
Right.
It brings up bad memories about what happened. And now we need to know why Coach Sirianni didn't break the team down.
And I think that's the thing, Hugh. Like, in any other circumstance, like if it's in Baltimore and the players say, hey, we got it, and John Harbaugh doesn't address the team.
Yeah, because of the culture. It's the culture.
Right, and because of what happened last year. So I agree with that. Now, also, Jason Kelce talking about what happened at the end of the game. Obviously, Eagles throwing the ball on 3rd-and-3, then kicking the field goal on 4th-down. Here was Jason's take on what happened.
I think after you get the incompletion, it's a no-brainer. You kick it. The question is, if you thought you were going to go for it after that, do you do that? You run the ball on 3rd-down then, for sure, right?
Yeah.
So I think that really it's not a comparable thing. Like, they would have had a minute left if you were going to go for it on 4th-down and you don't convert. But a minute to go, I mean, on their first 3 plays, they went how many yards in like 30 seconds?
It felt
like. I mean, it was fast.
It was bad.
And to me, the way the game was going, Atlanta was not getting in the end zone very easily. They had just scored like their first touchdown. Like, they were not operating that great in the red zone. So I felt pretty confident in the defense at least holding them out of the end zone with the limited time on a 2-minute drill. Obviously, that was not the case. And I also think some of these decisions come down to how comfortable do I feel with these play calls? Like, when you get into these scenarios where it's like, you know, you look at the game theory and it's like a 50-ish percent chance. Like, there's different levels of like no-brainer decisions and, you know, you're kind of on the fence. Mm-hmm. I think then you have to take into account how the game's going, where if you look into the game, they weren't getting in the end zone that easy. I think that you then take into account, okay, how good do I feel about this play call? Do I feel really strongly that this is going to be open? And like, for instance, if they felt really strongly that roll pass was going to be open, that they ended up dropping on 3rd-down,
yep.
If you feel great about that play, maybe you do call that on 4th-down.
And that's the thing, Hugh, and I think that's a fair kind of critique of Jason Kelce. Again, I agreed with the 3rd-down call. I thought it was okay to throw the ball because the play was there, the play worked. It would have worked against that defense. But I think his point there is a good one, where maybe you run the ball on 3rd-down. If you feel really good about that play, then you can run that play on 4th-down instead of taking the field.
Yeah, and that's what we're arguing. Like, and he's kind of saying basically what I say, because as a defender and knowing how demoralizing that play could be if it's successful, that's what you're going for. You remove all doubt that you are the big dog at that point. Kind of the same situation that Atlanta was in when they went for it on 4th-down and they got it, because that's a play where they were going to win the game. And I can't forget it. And it still rings in my head when I heard him say it. Mike Quick said after the play was ran, they're trying to win the football game. And that's what they were trying to do. That's why in that moment, those waning moments of the game, this 30-something-year-old, old-ass quarterback sat back there and he channeled his inner Tom Brady and he let it fly.
What was the word you used to describe him earlier? Feeble?
Feeble ass quarterback.
Feeble ass.
And I say that with all due respect because, like, right now, the Atlanta Falcons, they got the big piece of chicken. They're down there in Atlanta feeling real good about themselves.
I don't think you can call somebody feeble ass and then say, with all due respect.
Yeah.
No,
yeah, I mean,
there's no respect there.
It kind of, I can't.
It's like saying no offense before saying the most offensive thing possible.
Right.
But, like, no offense.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
I was loving, no offense, but, you know, the Eagles coaches
it's
are
it's kind of like when you say with all due respect and then you get disrespectful.
Right.
So it's but all due respect makes it lands a little. A little different.
A little different. Maybe. No,
you might think that.
Or not at all.
As the one who says it.
Atlanta lands a little different.
We know what you think about Kirk Cousins.
No, I'm just
and
saying.
And it's not – you it, think
it
he's
just
a feeble
it just lands a little different when right. you say with all due respect. Because you can't get – like technically when people tell you with all due respect, they're saying it to let you know you can't get mad because
right.
I'm about to get disrespectful.
Which, yeah, that's not
yeah,
the way it
basically, that's how it works. That's
not how it works.
It is how it works.
No. It should not work that way.
But it does work that way.
Dude.
How does it not? Because what usually follows after with all due respect?
Hold on.
Something disrespectful.
Yeah, exactly. That doesn't lessen the blow.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't. Hugh, think of the most disrespectful thing somebody could ever say to you, okay? Picture that in your head, and then just imagine that with all due respect.
It
doesn't matter.
It does
no,
matter.
No, it doesn't.
Because it's coming from a place of love, and you have to. You just kind of have to digest that.
Well, it's coming from a place of like, oh, whoops, this
try
might
it.
Actually be really offensive.
Try it. I guarantee you.
Don't try it.
Try it and see what happens. No. Nothing's going to happen.
I'm scared about what can happen.
No, I'm just saying. Say, hey, listen, with all due respect. Say, like, to somebody, like, hey. You have a ball
Hugh,
spot
Hugh,
with all due respect.
Hugh, if you went with all due respect,
no,
like see, tell Mo,
no,
Mo,
no,
watch,
no. Oh,
Mo,
no.
Mo,
like,
just call Mo.
You're making this an HR matter here.
I'm just saying. Hugh, I said with all due respect.
Let me give you an example. If you went up to Nick Sirianni, went to his face. With all due respect, you suck at your job. Do you think he would be okay with that?
Well, I'll say,
Come on, man.
No. You know what? You know what I would say? I say, Coach. With all due respect,
Lee Scrotum, coach,
you should have ran the damn football.
That's different. That's not.
That's not disrespect.
That's not.
That's not disrespect. Okay, so
it's
you
not
said if
he sucks at his job, that's so, completely different.
Okay, so how about this instead? Because you know I don't like to use words so you know strong like suck. How about I say this? With all due respect, coach. That was a horrible ass coaching job you did the other night.
I don't think he would like that.
He wouldn't like it, but he couldn't do nothing about it because I said with all due respect.
Yes, he could.
What could he couldn't get mad.
You think that absolves you from getting punched in the mouth for saying something disrespectful?
You can't get mad about that.
Man.
You can't.
This is a ridiculous take.
No, it's not. It's the truth.
Hugh,
try
go,
it.
Go
try
to,
it.
No, go,
I'm, just,
no, I'm not
just
gonna
looking
try
out
it.
There trying to see the top of Moose's head right now.
No, Moose got a ball spot.
If you went up to some random on the streets of Philly and you said with all due respect, you look like a moron. You would get punched in the face. Maybe not you, because you're a big guy.
Not you.
But I would.
But I would.
Most
and Kyle
got,
would.
Most got a ball spot.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Just leave Moshe out of this, man.
He got a ball spot. Like, you can't come to work not knowing that you got a ball. Like, you know you got a ball spot.
Moshe, with all due respect, we're very sorry.
No,
about
Moshe
what
is cool.
Hugh is doing to
I love
right
Moshe, though. Moshe gets stuff done around here. But he does have a ball spot.
He's a good sport, too.
That's a fact, though.
We need the third clue.
You need a third clue?
We need a third clue. Sausage salesman.
Some plays in the NFL. The third clue
we
is.
We got to move on.
He had one of the most memorable TD celebrations in the history of the NFL. Kind of was like started kind of like the trend of having like these orchestrated, like all over the top.
That's
you know,
a good
think?
One.
You know,
I don't
yeah,
know.
Celebrations. Like this one was pretty innovative.
Okay, gotcha.
It was pretty innovative. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
It was pretty innovative.
So he's a sausage salesman.
He sells sausage.
His son plays in the
NFL.
This
sounds so bad when you say it like that.
Sells that sausage. Son plays in the NFL, and he has one of the most memorable celebrations
yes
of all time. There you go.
He's like, what's your job description? I'm a sausage salesman.
Hey, it's got a nice ring to it. The alliteration there, not bad.
Sausage salesman.
Let's go to Amir. What's up, Amir?
Hey, how y'all doing?
What's up, man?
So, I don't think the overreaction, not reasonable. I know some people still looking at it, you know, from a last year perspective going into this year. I kind of see it as just this year is just turning over a new leaf.
the D-line is a major concern, but I think the bigger concern is with the offense not getting the ball to, you know, our playmakers enough. Dallas Goedert, who's the guy we just got from the Commanders?
Jahan Dotson.
Yeah, Jahan Dotson. I just feel like there's no way you can't get these guys involved. You're getting Britton Covey involved with these bubble screens. I just don't see how you can't run those plays to Dotson or Goddard, somebody who can, you know, make an impact on the game, break a tackle. You know, you got Britton Covey out there. He's just getting manhandled. Well,
Amir, I will say this.
With all due respect, Amir, when you say it like that, you got to say it with all due respect.
Yeah, with all due respect, yeah, Britton Covey sucks.
With all due respect. Yeah.
You can't be out there with all due respect, you can't get out there being a man. You can't go out there being manhandled, man. You can't be out there sunned.
It's true.
Getting swinging you around with one arm, guys, just swing. It's like, come on.
Can I just say,
has anybody caught more strays than Britton Covey this week?
No, dog. Let me just say this. With all due respect, when I saw that, I was like, I can't tell you exactly what I said, but I was like, man, why are we throwing him the ball, man? Why are we?
With all due respect, I mean, I feel like you can just set something up where you got, and then you got Devontae Smith out there blocking for Covey. Like, you can set something up. You got the guy Johnny Wilson out there. I feel like he was a good run blocker, you know, in the preseason. You get him out there. You run those bubble screens to Goddard or Dotson, and I feel like we might get something going. But we know this team is going to be led by the offense, the D-line.
Yeah.
These guys can't get off blocks. I know, Hugh, you said, like, when you started off in the league, you had a rough start. Now, did you have a rough start with not being able to get off blocks? Like, one-on-one with tight ends?
Yeah, a little bit. Well, not so much tight ends, but just having situational awareness. And my coaches should be like, Doug, you know, you can't let them get into your body. You're not that big. You're not one of the big guys out there. That's what I see, man. A lot of times with Bryce Huff in particular, because that's the guy that I've been watching. He, when you watch him rush, man, he doesn't have the separation that you need. I can't describe it, but I'm not going to describe because it sounds weird. But I can't describe it. They're like hugged up with one another. It's like they're tango dancing or something.
Right. Well, Amir, let's get your guess, man. What's your guess for Hughes Clues?
My guess is Joe Horn.
Hey! 100%,
man.
That wasn't that hard, was it, Amir? That wasn't hard.
The NFL, the sun kind of
threw you off a little bit.
He got it even.
No, the sun was a good clue.
Oh, okay. He said the other clues were not that great.
He said it before the celebration. Sausage salesman didn't get it for you, Amir?
Mm-mm. Okay. And I figure, you know, since we're playing the Saints this week, it may have been a Saints, former Saints player.
There's always a tie-in.
That's a thinking man right there.
I figured it was a
tie-in. You know what I'm saying? Amir listens to the show.
There you go,
That's how
Amir.
You play Hughes Clues, Amir. Yep. Good job,
buddy. You
see
what I'm saying? Because we try to tie that thing in every time.
Good job, Amir. Yep. You've won a pair of tickets to see the Phillies play the Chicago Cubs on Monday, September 23rd. With a 6:40 p.m. first pitch at Citizens Bank Park. For tickets, go to Phillies.com. Congrats, Amir.
Appreciate it, y'all.
There you go, man. So Amir is the winner of tickets. Good job, Hugh.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. I know people get mad at me about these clues, but you have to think a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. I don't try to make them that hard.
With all due respect, just be smarter. Just don't be dumb.
See, you can't get mad at that.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't. With all due respect, you can't get mad at that.
With all due respect.
It helps. It helps everything.
We need to get to, we talked about Jason Kelce and Kelce's takes and some of the things he said on the morning show. But if you didn't hear this, we got to play it again for you. This is played this morning on the morning show. The great Joe Conklin, because Jason Kelce, hey, he's all over your TV. He's on pregame shows. He's on commercials. He's everywhere. Here was Joe Conklin and what Jason Kelce's got in the works coming up next.
Philadelphia!
Cream cheese.
Hi, I'm Jason Kelce, and I'll do anything for a buck. Make it half a buck. Give me 50 cents, and I'll give you a hell yeah! If you're constantly walking to the bank to cash checks because you can't say no to anything, give your feet a break with Dr. Scholl's orthopedic shoes.
Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Not as much as what's in my wallet! Hey, if you're having a children's party, don't hire some clown! You can hire me for your party. Plus, if you got hungry dogs, I'll walk them.
Hey, it's Jonah Cameron here.
And I'm Jason Kelce for
The Hammer!
Up yeah! Ah!
Did you ever scream so loud that it drains all the blood from your favorite extremity? Try Kelce Alice. Buy Bitcoin. I don't know what it is, but if it's currency, I'm all in. If you've got nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, hire me now.
That's great stuff. The Kelce Alice.
That was pretty good. Yeah. That was pretty good, man.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at Jason for being all over the place. I'm not mad at that.
With all due respect, it's just, you know, he's everywhere.
He's prostituting himself, yeah. And he's getting.
I wouldn't put it that way.
No, but it is. It's prostituting yourself.
Okay.
And he's getting a nice little chunk of cheese for it.
Yeah, he is.
Like, he's doing cereal commercials, man. He's out there. You know, it's funny to me.
I like the one with him in the Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah, that was pretty good. You know what's funny to me, man? And he handles it way better than I would ever handle it.
Yeah.
Especially on social media. He was out there dancing like nobody cared. And people were mad at him. I was like, man, do your thing.
Well,
live your best life.
He's doing great. And Joe Conklin, great bit. Conklin's doing great as well. See Conklin with the City Rhythm Orchestra at the Media Theater in Media, PA on Saturday, November 16th. It's the story of Philly sports through music. Get tickets at joeconklin.com. Also, Parks Comedy Night at Parks Casino every Thursday. Next Thursday, September 26th, see Joe Bartnick from The Bill Burr Show. Get tickets at joeconklin.com. When we get back, we will get to a recent report about Hassan Reddick and when we could potentially see a resolution. That's coming up next. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio alongside Hugh Douglas. It's the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Hugh Douglas, Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today. This is the Midday Show. If you want to get in, 215-592-9494. Talking a lot about the Eagles. Are we overreacting to the Monday night loss? Also,
yes.
Starting to look ahead to Sunday. Eagles-Saints, 1 o'clock. But we got to check in on another situation going on around the NFL, Hugh. And that's our old friend Hassan Reddick, who has been sitting out. Jets play tonight. Hassan Reddick, guessing, will not be playing tonight.
No, but they probably talking to her.
Yeah, they're dealing with issues. They need him back. And there's an update. What do we have, Kyle? What's the latest on Hassan Reddick?
So ESPN insider Dan Graziano said on an article he posted just yesterday, quote, "Nothing was ever likely to happen this week. The Jets have a quick turnaround for a Thursday night game against the Patriots, but they know they need to do something about the pass rush. And solving the Reddick dilemma would seem to be the straightest line to a solution. Keep an eye out this weekend and early next week for potential movement on the Hassan Reddick front with the Jets. If nothing happens on this situation next week, people around the league believe that it's possible nothing will, and the Jets might end up having to trade Reddick between now and the trade deadline."
Interesting. And Hassan Reddick, by the way, at 11:01 today, a cryptic tweet tweeted out, "God will always make a way," and then prayer hands emoji.
Yeah, so he's probably talking about either they're negotiating or they're negotiating a contract or they are negotiating his release.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, Hugh. I was, even as recently as last week, I was against trading for Hassan Reddick, thought, hey, this won't be a good solution. After watching that defensive line on Monday night, just go get him. I don't. Just go get Hassan Reddick back here. I can't watch these defensive ends all season. Bring Hassan Reddick back.
You know what's funny about that?
Bring him back.
I hear what everybody's saying. I don't know, because that's basically saying you screwed up. Bryce Huff isn't that good.
They
and
did
you want
screw
some pass
up.
Pass rush. I don't know if we're there yet. I'm not saying that you're wrong. I don't think that we're there yet. I don't think we're at that crossroads where we're willing to make that decision. And with this situation being as fluid as it is, I don't know if whatever happens this weekend will speed that up, if you get what I'm saying.
Right.
I don't think that the Eagles are in a position, or Howie for that matter, that feel like, hey, we screwed up when it came to Hassan Reddick.
I just think we're at a point where they need something. They need a pass rush. Kyle, where do you stand on that? If you're the Eagles, are you seriously looking into this? Because I wasn't before, but I can't watch this all
of
year.
Of course. It looks pretty clear that it was a big mistake to let Reddick walk and bring Bryce Huff in. I don't think – like, Can anyone deny that right now? Hassan Reddick is like a 10-sack a season guy. Bryce Huff looks like he might have got 10 tackles this year.
When I see Nolan Smith getting, pancaked by Bijan Robinson,
it's blasted.
Not so much pancake. It's a chip block. Chip blocks are crucial.
With all due respect, Nolan, that was pathetic.
Yeah, with all due respect, boy, you got blasted.
So he can't get mad at me. Let's go back to the phones. Go to Ken in Cinnaminson. What's up, Ken?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
What's up, Ken?
Before I get to my main reason for calling, with all due respect, I don't want Hassan Reddick anywhere near this locker room, and neither does Howie Roseman. And Hugh knows I'm going to say this because he heard me say it all year last year for the second half of the season. Why would you want to bring Hassan Reddick back to wreck the locker room and do whatever he wants on the field, not play assignment football, and just go chase sacks to try and get paid? I don't want him back. That's why he's gone. So,
well, Ken, nobody else on the team can get sacks.
Well, it doesn't matter, Joe. Or Tom, it doesn't matter. He was the problem in the locker room, and Hugh will back me up on this. He spent the entire second half of the season chasing sacks to try and get paid. And the funny thing is, when he started chasing sacks, he had no sacks. So when you hear the stat about, well, their edge rushers haven't recorded a sack in the last 9 games, that includes Hassan Reddick. So look, that ship has sailed, and we should all be thankful that it left the port. So move on. Jalix Hunt's going to get more snaps. That's what's going to happen.
Oh, Jalix Hunt's going to save the season. Well, I hope you're right, Ken.
I didn't say that. I said Jalix Hunt's going to get more snaps.
Okay. What else you got, Ken?
The main reason I called, bless your heart, Tom, on carrying water for the billionaires with this arena, there's a few things that these perpetual lies that have been told for generations now by these billionaire owners to try to get their way on these stadiums, these arenas. So the first one is this lie that, the number of people that drive to games is going to go down from 75% to 40%. That's not going to happen. The government has tried for generations to change behavior of people that they want to change, and they can't change it. They've been trying to force people to buy electric cars for 20 years. Electric cars still represent 2% of all new car sales in the United States of America, 2%. And that's the Department of Transportation's number. That's not mine. So people are going to get to the games the way that is easiest and most convenient for them. So that's going to go from driving their own car to calling an Uber. It's already unsafe to be a pedestrian in Center City or ride a bicycle in Center City. Now we're going to throw some more ride shares into Center City to run over some more pedestrians and run over some more bicyclists.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is, this lie that has been told for generations about all this economic impact that comes into the economy when you build these new arenas, and it never, ever happens. And there's so much data out there, and it never, ever happens. So there'll be some temporary union jobs with the iron workers and the steel workers and the glazers and all that, but they're going to get those jobs no matter where they build that arena in Philadelphia. So that's a push, and those are temporary jobs. I mean, if all you have to do is look, I'm older than you guys. I live in New Jersey. I've lived in New Jersey my whole life for the most part. And these are the same lies that were told to the residents of the state of New Jersey 40 years ago about casino gambling in Atlantic City.
Well, Ken, I hear you, but what's the other solution? I mean, the Sixers need a place to play. What's the other solution?
They were never going to go to Camden. Just like Norman Braman was never going to move the Eagles to Arizona, they were never going to go to Camden. It wasn't the Sixers that threatened to go to Camden. It was our governor over here, Tom Murphy, saying, hey, come over here. We'll give you whatever you want. And all he did was help Josh Harris.
Well, I got you, Ken. And I'm sorry, we're up against it. We got to move on. But this is the thing. I get the traffic part of it. But I don't think taking trains to games is something that's impossible for people to do.
I don't think, like I said, I'm not. And when I heard Ike say it yesterday, I had the same thought process. I'm going to park here, and I'll take an Uber
right,
or something like that. I'm just not getting on the train. That's just not what I want to do. So, you're just going to have people ride sharing probably more than anything, but the traffic's still going to be the same.
Maybe. The traffic's going to be bad, but I do think, there weren't a lot of – the Sixers did not want to share an arena with the Flyers anymore. They wanted their own place, and, I think this is the solution that that could end up working out. And I think people will need to find alternative ways to get to games. Taking the regional rail, I don't think is crazy to suggest. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. We'll get to a bunch of your calls in the final hour. Your thoughts on the Eagles after 2 weeks. Have we overreacted to the loss? Quick check in on the Phillies next as well. Tough loss last night for the Phillies, but a big series coming up tonight. Taiwan on the mound tonight, getting the start.
He's going to get it done for
He's
us.
He's back, Hugh.
I think Kyle predicted this, too.
End your calls. All that coming up next. Tom Kelly, Hugh Douglas, Sports Radio 94.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.